When is a T-wave hyperacute? Definitions vary depending on who you ask. My preference is to select a functional rather than a descriptive definition. A hyperacute T-wave is a T-wave that tells you that your patient is in the process of evolving an acute MI, that there is acute coronary occlusion in process of occurring. So how do we determine this from looking at an ECG? And how do we distinguish hyperacute T-waves from repolarization variants that perhaps are more pronounced than what we are used to seeing? As obvious as it may sound, my first clue that a T-wave is hyperacute comes from the history. If the patient in front of you looks and sounds like they are having an acute MI, this immediately puts the patient into a higher prevalence group. That is, into a group of patients for whom, even before you look at the ECG, the statistical likelihood that they are having an acute MI is much higher. The same holds true for virtually any diagnostic test. A borderline test result is much more likely to represent a true positive finding when the patient in question is more likely to have the disease. You can't catch goldfish if there are no goldfish in the pond. So a younger adult who does not have significant cardiac risk factors, who presents with a history of atypical chest pain, is much less likely to have an acute MI compared to an adult who is older, who has strong cardiac risk factors, and who presents with a much more worrisome history of new onset chest pain. This is not to say that a younger, previously healthy adult can't have acute infarction, but simply to say that it is important to take the history into account when evaluating your patient and trying to decide if the ECG findings you see are more or less likely to indicate an acute cardiac event. So, what do hyperacute T-waves look like? Hyperacute T-waves are upright, not inverted. There may be slight J-point ST segment elevation, which of itself does not distinguish hyperacute T-waves from repolarization variants, because early repolarization often manifests a limited amount of J-point ST elevation in one or a few leads. But the shape of hyperacute T-waves is different. Hyperacute T-waves tend to be disproportionately tall considering R-wave or S-wave amplitude in the particular lead you are looking at. Hyperacute T-waves tend to be rounder or fatter at their peak and or wider at their base than expected, given R-wave or S-wave amplitude in the lead you are looking at. In a word, hyperacute T-waves are more voluminous than you would expect for a normal T-wave, considering R-wave and S-wave amplitude in the lead you are looking at. This concept of proportionality is key. Younger adults with repolarization variants often manifest increased QRS amplitude. ST segments and T waves will be proportionally larger in such individuals, and this is not necessarily abnormal. You are looking for disproportionately large and fat and wide T waves in a patient who presents with a history consistent with an ongoing acute event. Now, some of this is admittedly subjective, but it helps when you see ST segment and T-wave changes that look disproportionate in more than a single lead, especially when the patient's history is concerning. To emphasize, the diagnosis of acute MI is easy when the patient with new chest pain shows multiple leads with obvious ST elevation and opposing leads with reciprocal ST depression. But when, despite a history that is concerning, the patient's initial ECG does not show an obvious STEMI, I look for one or ideally two leads in which I can definitely say that T-waves are either taller, fatter at their peak, and or wider at their base than they should be, given QRS amplitude in the particular lead or leads you are looking at. And once I find those one or two leads that are definitely abnormal, I then look especially hard for subtle changes in the remaining leads. Pearl. The more leads that show subtle ST-T-wave abnormalities, such as ST segment flattening and or slight ST depression, straightening of the ST segment takeoff, or subtle ST elevation, the more leads that show these subtle ST-T-wave abnormalities in a patient with concerning new symptoms, the more likely it is that those leads with disproportionate T-wave changes truly represent hyperacute T-waves indicative of impending coronary occlusion. Final points. Hyperacute T-waves will look different compared to the patient's baseline tracing. And hyperacute T-waves will evolve with time, sometimes changing their appearance in as little as 5 to 10 minutes, especially when the patient continues with severe chest pain. So comparison of the patient's initial ECG with any baseline tracings that can be found, as well as repeating the ECG one or more times in short order, will often clarify that what you thought was a disproportional T wave was indeed a hyperacute T wave indicative of acute impending coronary occlusion.